So far in this series, we've been learning some stuff. We've been learning first that the church belongs to Jesus, and it is defined by the mission that he's given it. We've also learned that the church was always supposed to be embedded in the needs of the world, being the actual hands and feet of Jesus. We talked about that last week. We've been reminding ourselves that God is on a mission in this world of love and healing and justice and grace and truth, and he wants to do his work through us, his church. It's really not so much that the church has a mission. What we're learning is that God's mission has a church, amen? And that is an exciting thing. And today we're going to see the church. When we talk about the church, we're talking about a congregation of individual disciples uniquely called and supernaturally gifted to allow Jesus to work through them, all of us. Planting a church, which is what we're also looking at in this series, as God has called us to plant a brand new church at Post and 42nd, this neighborhood we've grown to love so much that we've been working in for over 5 years now. Planting a church is a great reason to stop and remind ourselves of one of the most powerful word pictures the scriptures paint for what the local church is meant to be. And that is that the local church is like a human body. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 this morning and remind ourselves of this powerful truth. Starting in verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function." We're going to stop right there for just a moment. So each of us has a human body, and that body is made up of many body parts, right? Each part, organs, limbs, all have their own specific function. You can almost say it with me: eyes, ears, mouth, and nose. What comes next? Head, shoulders, knees, and I'm not going to reach down there. I'm too old for that now. So the church is like a body with all of those parts, each one unique, but also a unified whole. Each part needs every other part to fulfill its function. That's true in our human body. That's true in the body of Christ that is a local church. God can do amazing things when each of us simply does our part, not someone else's part, right? Not 15 parts, your part and my part. And what we also see in this passage is that we're not all the same. Isn't that good news? Thank God for that, right? We're not all the same. In the diversity of gifts and experiences that make up a local church, God creates a beauty in his church and through his church to the world. So what planting a church reminds us of is how essential each of us are. As we stretch ourselves to see a new congregation birthed from this congregation, that's a faith-stretching, bold moment for us. And so it's in that stretching that we begin to see, man, we need each of us now more than ever, every outlooker, to find our place on the team, in the body that is the church, here at Outlook and in the new church at Renewal. This is one of the things that has me so excited about this opportunity. Mike, myself, our elders, man, we are clear on this call, but we also know that God equips those he calls. I was chatting with someone earlier in the Commons, and they were bringing up how exciting this is that our church is going to start a new church. And I said, yeah, you know, every now and then it's just great when God makes something obvious, you know. Sometimes God's will isn't easy to discern. Is that true? Right. It can be difficult at times. But every now and then, God just puts something in front of you that is as clear as day. And this has always felt just as clear as that. And so it is nice. We are clear on this call. God is clearly doing something and has been. And then planting a church, let's face it, that sounds like a big deal. And it is a big deal. But it also kind of sounds like something only very few people might be able to do. It sounds specialized. And even though it is a big deal, I want to assure us this morning It's something that any number of us could be called to do, because it will require, this is the way God works, this is the way a human body works, and this is the way a church works. It will require people with all different kinds of spiritual gifts, right? All kinds of parts to make the body whole. And that's especially true in the neighborhood we're being called to serve, because there are so many folks who are hurting or oppressed or find themselves far from God. The needs are diverse. It will require a diverse, beautiful response. So we're going to need preachers and teachers and those kinds of traditional leaders for sure, but even more, hear this, even more, we're going to need people who've been called to simply love other people. People who are empathetic. People who, when they see others hurting, naturally want to respond. People who are learning how to love. We need people who will want to encourage others and hold them accountable. We'll need people who want to achieve justice for the poor and neglected, because they know that's what God wants in this world. We'll need people who have joy simply because of what God is doing in their lives, and they want other people to experience that same goodness. Sometimes, though, people will think they're not qualified to do a work like this one because they don't have the, quote, right gifts. When in fact, they are exactly who's needed to help make such a work fruitful and successful and have staying power. Amen? Because God knows. It's His church. He's in charge. God knows, and He has already equipped people with the gifts they need to do the work He's calling them to do. And spoiler alert, some of those people are you.
Well, that's exactly right. And the very next verse in this passage is the key to our involvement as we set out to plant this new church. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. We are made to serve each other, and we need each other. Let me tell you a story about how I've seen this verse lived out. There is a lady who lives down the street from the Renewal House in the neighborhood, and she is the sweetest lady, but man, she is going through it right now. God has allowed some trials and some circumstances into her life that have left her pretty much devastated. She's not quite gotten up to the level of Job yet, but she can see him up ahead of her, not very far in line. Right after the first of the year, she reached out to me. And she admitted to me that she was going through all this stuff and that she was feeling very overwhelmed and scared and that she needed to get her life together, and she asked for us to help her do so. And that, all by itself, was huge. The fact that this lady trusted us enough to admit that she was going through this and to reach out for help was a victory for the ministry and something that's very unusual in the neighborhood. So I got together with her and I learned two things. The first thing I learned is that she had not done her laundry in over 2 months. Now, just as an aside here, I kind of feel like God has been talking to me a lot lately in the last few months, right? And He's been showing me some things, revealing some things that are happening in the neighborhood. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out how anyone can go 2 months without doing the laundry. But that's what happened to this poor lady. And now, getting the laundry done had become this huge mountain that this lady needed to climb. Almost literally, right? So we packed up all of her laundry in my car, bags and bags and bags of it. And I took her to the laundromat. And Renewal gave her the money needed to allow her to do her laundry. Now notice, we did not do her laundry for her. And she didn't ask us to. We just removed the obstacles in her life and made it possible for her to do the laundry herself. We encouraged her. We gave her some resources, and she climbed the mountain. She texted me about 9:30 that night, and she thanked me, and she told me what an impact it had made on her. And then she said something to me that made me realize this was a much bigger deal than I had originally thought. She told me that getting rid of that mountain of laundry in her house was a catalyst. That was the word she used. A catalyst for her to take on some other things going on in her house and to really make an effort to try to get her life back in order. And I was like, you know, wow. In the big picture, we had not really done that much. But for this lady, where she was in her life at that time, this was a huge deal. It gave her the strength to try to get her life back on track. And really, isn't that what the gospel is all about? Helping the lost get their life back on track? The other thing I learned from this lady was a lot more serious. She's pregnant. And unfortunately, the doctors have identified a birth defect, a heart defect, in her new baby. And this new baby is going to need serious heart surgery, possibly as early as an hour or two after she's born. So this lady, right, she's already got all the stuff going on in her life, and now this is dropped on top of her on everything else. And she shared with me that she has no support, that there is no one to help her, and the worst thing of all for her, she had no one to talk to about everything she was going through. So I connected her with Chris Ball. Chris Ball is an Outlooker and one of our most faithful volunteers at Renewal. And Chris has spent the last few weeks just being there for this lady. She encourages her. She holds her accountable to some things this lady needs to do. She's connected her with other resources that'll help this lady deal with some of her problems. Chris is not doing things for this lady, but she is helping her prioritize her needs. She's helping her get things done so that she's not faced with another mountain in the future, whether that's laundry or otherwise. She's helping her come up with a plan for what she's going to do when she goes into labor and after the baby's born. And Renewal is going to help her with that as well. And so now this sweet, lost, overwhelmed sheep has been found. She's got a long way to go. And I'll be honest with you, she has more bad days than good days, but she's no longer lost and on her own. She has a shepherd, a godly shepherd and a human shepherd. Chris has become her human shepherd. She keeps her on track and leads her in the right direction. She keeps her from being separated from the flock and becoming more vulnerable to the evils of the world around her. She does that simply because she's a godly woman and she's living out her faith alongside of this lost sheep in need. She didn't have to organize a Bible study or join a small group. She didn't even have to register online to volunteer. Chris is leading this lady to her godly shepherd just by being there for her, walking alongside her, pointing her in the right direction. Isn't that amazing? It gives me goosebumps every time I tell the story. But that's what I envision this church being able to do throughout this neighborhood. That's how I think God is going to work through us. Through the preachers and the teachers and the group leaders, for sure. I mean, at least I hope so, right? But mainly through any of us, all of us, who love Jesus so much, we just can't keep from loving others. Not just with our words, but with our actions, with our time, with our energy. And in that process, leading them to Jesus. Read the words. We, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen to that. That is what we're talking about. Each member belongs to all the others. God has something for every member, every part of the body to do. And Paul goes on, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Someone say, each of us. That means any and all of us, right? And remembering this keeps us from counting ourselves out. And if Mike and I have one job this morning, it's this: helping us all to see how tragic and wrong it would be for any of us to count ourselves out of God's work on this earth. Don't do it. The Apostle Paul carries this analogy forward in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this picture of the church as a human body. And in that passage, he talks about how a foot should never say, "I don't matter because I'm not a hand." And an ear should never say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body." And then he asks almost comically, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Making the obvious point that if we were all alike, we wouldn't be fulfilling God's mission on the earth. It's exactly the diversity of giftedness that creates the beauty of our mission effectiveness. And then he declares this, "But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." For me as a pastor, this is one of my foundational passages when it comes to a theology of the local church. It belongs to Jesus. He's in charge. He is arranging the parts of His body to do the things He wants to accomplish on the earth. And so He does exactly that. Every one of them is arranged just as He wanted them to be. Now, if they were all one part, where would the body be? He asks again. As it is, there are many parts but one body. And then check this out. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Again, reiterating that point, that God has placed in you and in me our own unique set of gifts and abilities. We've learned from our experiences, and the expression of the Holy Spirit in us then coming out will be unique to you, just as your voice is, just as the way you look is unique to you, just who you are, designed by God uniquely to make a unique difference in the lives of others. There is no you quite like you. Amen? Now, obviously, planting a church is a huge undertaking. And becoming a part of this initial planting team, should that be what God calls you to do, is a huge step. And we know it won't be for everybody. But we also think that there are more people qualified, so to speak, to do this than you may possibly realize. Tell us more about that, Mike.
Well, Courtney Perry is a perfect example of what Paul is teaching us here. She's been a reliable volunteer at Renewal almost since the very beginning. And I've seen the impact that she's making on that community. And I've seen the impact that serving in that ministry and in other places has made on Courtney. But because of the kind of gifts that God has given her, Courtney has never seen herself as a leader. Well, I sort of assume that she would want to be a part of the initial church planting team. And when I first told her about the plans we had to plant a church there in the neighborhood, I could see right away that she was excited about the idea and thought it was a great idea. But when I asked her if she would be a part of the initial planting team, the expression on her face changed totally. "No, no," she said. I don't want to do that. I don't even like that kind of stuff." So I'm kind of blown away, right? I mean, here, God's got me all fired up about this big task that He's calling me to, and I'm taking this big old step out in faith, and I'm pretty much counting, if we're going to be honest, that Courtney is going to be a member of the initial church planting team, right? She's the very first person I talk to, and her answer's no. I mean, it's not really good for the old self-confidence, if you know what I'm saying. "Wait a minute," I said. "You love people. You love caring for them, right?" "Yeah." "And you love serving at Renewal." "Uh-huh." "And you've been making connections with the people in the neighborhood, and they're starting to trust you, right?" "Yeah." "And I know you've seen how God's working in your life, because I've seen how God's working in your life." "Yeah, that's right." "So, well, that's all you need." She thought about it for a minute. "Oh, okay," she said. "I guess I'm in." You see, I saw Courtney as this key part of the initial church planting team, but she did not see herself that way because she did not think that God had given her the gifts that would be needed to start a new church. But I've seen the gifts that God's given to her. I've seen her love for people. I've seen her compassion for the hurting and her heart for the lost. And once I explained to her how God would use those gifts He had given her and how, in fact, those were the exact gifts we needed to be able to plant a church in a neighborhood like this. She got it, and now she's all in. A little scared, maybe, but so am I, right? But she's all in. I think there are a lot of people who could fall into that category.
I think you're right, Mike. And I love that conversation that you had with her because it really highlights something that I think is what we all should be doing for each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And that is encouraging each other and telling each other what we see in one another. Amen? That the gifts I see in you, you need me to tell you to say, you need me to tell you what I see. And I need that from you too. And that kind of encouragement is a beautiful thing no matter what the situation is. Now, if you want to have your own conversation with Mike, he and I are hosting info meetings at noon today and next Sunday. The same, you can choose whichever one's most convenient for you, upstairs in the kids zone. So if you want to stick around after service and come up there, we're just going to have some casual Q&A. Any questions you have, we're going to make sure we get you answers and have a good time together. You can also contact Mike directly. This is his email address right here at the top of the screen. Or you can always go to outlookchurch.org/renewalchurch. We've put everything in the kitchen sink that we can think of regarding this church plant so far on that webpage, videos, planning documents, you name it, you can check it all out there as well. So friends, what's it going to take to join God in His mission, specifically in this new church? We know God's got this. We know that for sure. He is fully capable of arranging all the parts of the body just as He wants them to be. But amazingly, He's chosen to do His work through His people, people who've said yes to Him. And that volleys the ball right back into our court. Will we say yes to Him and His work, whatever that looks like here at Outlook and at Renewal? Accepting the unique way that God has designed us to be a useful part of what He's doing. Amazingly, He gives us that choice, you and I. Good things happen when we decide to say yes. And that takes us to the last part of this passage for this morning. Paul concludes like this. If your gift is prophesying, that means to speak forth God's truth, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, whatever your gift is, and by now I think we all are getting the message, we're all gifted. We're all designed to make a difference. Whatever your gift is, use it. Get to it and give it your all. That's what I read when I read this passage. And let's just stop and reflect for a moment. We are all weaker. We are all less than we could be when one or some of us counts ourselves out. When we, as a body, have certain parts that have chosen so far, for whatever reason, to not fulfill their function, we're weaker for it. All of us, as the body of Christ. We need you. We need each other. And let's go a little deeper and just reflect for a moment. This world is hurting without the full expression of every believer in Jesus, making the difference that they're called to make, shining the light that they're called to shine. Certainly, our headlines this week reflect that. I urge you to listen to the news and pay attention to the things that are going on in the world through a spiritual lens. Amen? Through a lens that says, what's happening, God, and how can I be a part of your solution? When we think about the killings in Atlanta this week, as an example, if they tell us anything, as they grieve our souls and break our hearts, if they tell us anything, it's that racial and gender hate and violence is alive and well and not going anywhere. So are lust and prejudice and perversion and a disregard for human life, a miscarriage of our rights, as well as it sounds like some toxic religion thrown in there. Let me ask you, what and who alone has the power to cut through such evil. As we stand here and reflect on the fact that we want to spread the good news of Jesus wherever we can, including Post and 42nd, we need to ask ourselves, what light can dispel such thick darkness? And friends, we know the answer. Only Jesus Christ and His gospel. Amen? The very message we're called to carry. The need is so great, the darkness so thick, that we, as Jesus' people, need to be present and prayerful and positive. We need to be active. We need to be showing love in every way we possibly can to the people around us. And if we feel called to go to places that we maybe wouldn't go all on our own, and spread that love as well, because the needs are great. Who knows what tragedies are prevented by an arm around a shoulder, by some help being shown to someone in need, by bringing some light and some joy into some places that can be dark and hopeless. Amen? Who knows what good can be done and what evil can be prevented by God's people spreading that love wherever they go. Now, Mike, I know you have a deep conviction and a clear vision of what this team could look like. So take us out by painting that picture.
Absolutely. I think there are two groups of people who are most likely to feel called to join this initial church planting team. The first are people who have already developed a heart for the ministry at Post and 42nd. And for those people, they probably see planting a church as just the next natural progression of that ministry. It's incredible how God can expand our hearts for other people, people we don't know, people who are not always like us. I've experienced this in my own life in places like Haiti and in Kenya. I've felt God growing my heart. And I know that God has already expanded the heart of some of our outlookers for the people at Post and 42nd, for many of them in ways that they never thought would ever happen. And this heart expansion can happen even in folks who've never served at Renewal. We know that there are people here in our congregation who grew up in this neighborhood or who live nearby. And it is only natural that they would have a heart to want to serve this group of people. And we also know that people are hearing the call over and over again to overcome racism in our society and are looking for ways to do so. I can think of no better way to do so than joining a church that is dedicated to serving in this neighborhood. But there's a second group of people that I think will also be drawn to be a part of this initial planting team. And for that group, it goes well beyond race, well beyond a particular call to serve in this neighborhood. That group of people will see being a part of this new church as a chance to further their own spiritual journey, a chance to faithfully respond to God's call in obedience wherever that call may take them, whether it's Post and 42nd or anywhere else they're needed. Whether those folks have been a Christian for a long time or a short time, when they hear about this plan to serve as a church in this community, God puts something in their heart that tells them, this is your next step. God has given those people the gifts we need and has been preparing them for this very task, whether they know it or not. What I think people don't always understand is that there's probably a lot of people who could start and plan a church. There's a lot of people who can organize and strategize, a lot of people who can go to meetings and do all the things necessary to make this happen. There are people who can make financial decisions and spiritual decisions and theological decisions. Those people are important, and we will absolutely rely on them as we form this new church. But what a church plant needs, and what a church plant like this really needs, are people to love other people. People who are becoming more like Jesus themselves. People who can draw people to Him just by caring for people the way He did. We need people who can preach and teach and share the gospel, But what we need just as much, if not more, are people who care enough about other people to want to serve them. People who live their lives in such a way that the people that they interact with actually want to hear what we're going to preach and teach about. Having those people on the initial church planting team will be a huge factor in how effectively this team is able to do the work God is calling us to. It's the same approach that we see as the earliest churches got started throughout the New Testament, as we talked about last week. The early apostles were not Bible scholars. They just learned at the feet of Jesus and went out and did what he had taught them. They went out and loved on people and brought them to him. It's also the same approach that missionaries take in their work. They're not necessarily highly trained in the Bible or in theology. They just love Jesus. They love his word. And they understand that they've been called to reach others with the gospel and to bring them to Christ. The gospel is revealed in those people more in their love than in their knowledge. They know enough about God's word to be able to apply it in their life. And they're always lifetime learners. But it's their love for others that allows them to so effectively work on God's behalf. That's exactly the kind of people who I think God is calling right now. People who want to be on mission, showing the love of Christ to people from other cultures in order to find the lost and to bring them to Christ. Sure, through their words, but mostly through their actions and through their love. In fact, I think this will be as close to becoming a full-time professional missionary as any of us are ever going to get. The difference will be you don't have to quit your job, you don't have to move to a foreign country, you don't have to eat goat or ugali or anything like that. We will be missionaries who are seeking and serving the lost. But then we're going to go home and sleep in our own beds every night and get up the next morning ready to do it all over again. It's more complicated than that, obviously, right? But I think that's a really good analogy. That's who I think God is calling to join him in his work today. People who want to be urban missionaries serving in a ripe mission field of incredible need. But for many of us, just 10 minutes from our homes. So many of us are capable of doing that, but it all starts with responding when we hear God's call. Let's pray about that. Father God, we thank you that you have given us so many gifts. We thank you that we are not all feet or ears or eyes, Lord, and that you have blessed us with so many gifts. Let us use those gifts to glorify you, O God. If you have given us the gift of teaching, let us teach well. If you have given the gift of serving, let us serve with all of our hearts. If it's encouragement you've given us, let us encourage everyone we come into contact with. Let us love others and do so in such a way that draws them to you, O Lord. And as we do so, help us to fulfill the plan you have for us. Help us to reach the lost and vulnerable, whether it's in Post and 42nd or anywhere in the world you're calling us to, Lord. Help touch those you have called. Touch those in a way so that they can hear your call to join this team, Lord. And most of all, give them the courage to respond to the call in a way that glorifies you in this neighborhood and throughout the world. Almighty God, we pray in your Son's holy and precious name.
Yes, amen. Thanks a lot, folks, for choosing to worship together this morning. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week and go in peace.